Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. This week, the Deputy President of the Irish Farmers Association, Tim O'Leary, was in Donegal. He was a special guest at the monthly county executive meeting of the IFA, held in the Clanry Hotel in Letterkenny. During the meeting, he addressed members on a range of issues, including the latest following the protest rallies in Dublin and Brussels, the importance of broadband in rural areas, and the new Charter of Rights. I spoke to him afterwards and began by asking him for his reaction to the measures that have been announced to help farmers, and notably those in the dairy, grain and pig sectors who are facing an income crisis.
It's improved on what was looking likely to come. I think our efforts helped. I think there's a recognition now that the European policy on Russia and the resultant ban by Russia of European food has consequences for European farmers that Europe has to recognise. I think that's maybe one of the most important things we succeeded here in doing, is to raise that awareness. There's a significant recognition as well that particularly for Ireland this year on the dairy, the grain and the pig areas are of agriculture, there's a serious income crisis. Prices have been falling dramatically for milk. Grain farmers are having their third tough year, really tough year with very low prices. And pig farmers are suffering. Even though grain prices are low, pig prices are badly affected by the Russian embargo, and they're suffering greatly as well. So we were in Brussels raising these issues and emphasising the need for European action. This is a community of 400 million of the richest consumers in the world. It's not right that the food producers, the people that feed these, cannot make a decent living from what they do.
So what's the next step now, having achieved a little bit?
Oh, I suppose, look, the immediate one is that we need to see how this will be implemented, how the money will actually be paid out. We understand there will be a national envelope that the Irish government will disperse, so we want to know how that works. The terms and conditions on that. We would be making the case, for example, that Ireland, being a large exporter of products, is more impacted by this embargo than a country that eats all its own. For example, like Italy or Spain, who are net importers of product, they will hardly have been affected by this in the same way as Ireland would have been. So we'd want to see a recognition of this. And this is a case we've been making now, yesterday and today again, that this has to happen. So that'll be the next step.
Now, we've heard a lot about the milk prices and whether or not production costs are even being met at the moment. Looking at the global markets, there is perhaps an indication that we're past the worst, that maybe prices can rise a bit, but the co-ops also are now going to be approached to see if they can help get that extra cent or two a litre.
Yes, well, there's a couple of points there now that you've raised, right? First of all, there has been two now significant increases in the New Zealand auction price for milk, and that's a sentiment changer, we hope. We are making the case to the European Commission that the changing intervention prices here would be another sentiment changer. They don't agree with us yet, but that's a case we're going to pursue, that what we want to do is impress on the buyers of dairy products that the price drops have ended. If you think about it, if you're buying something today and you knew it was going to be cheaper next month, would you buy it today? No, you wouldn't. And that's a simple matter of economics, and that's the way it works. But if you knew that this was the bottom and that the likelihood is that it'll start rising next month, you'd start buying today. And that's what we want to happen on the market. It's as simple as that. And we're hopeful that that's the case. It's hard to tell now. Okay, so that's the two sides. On the Irish cooperatives, we're making the case that farmers have been taking, for the last 18 months now almost, since May of 2014, they have been taking price cut after price cut after price cut. And as you said, it is now down at the cost or below the cost of production. We've done our bit here on dealing with market volatility. We've taken the cuts. We want to see more involvement from the cooperatives inside the farm gate, inside the factory gate, I should say, involved in significant cost reduction. And if that has to come from rationalisation within the co-op itself, If it has to come from rationalisation of the industry with through cooperation or amalgamation, whatever is required, that's what we want to see happen. But it's not just good enough, you see, for the co-op to say, well, we've been supporting price all year long through off the balance sheet or off of cash reserves. That's just taking money out of one of my pockets and put it into the other. That's not supporting it. That's not cost reduction. That's using my money to support myself. And it's good, don't get me wrong, it's a help, but it's not enough. So we're saying to those guys, lads, come on now, shoulder to the wheel here, a bit more effort's required, and because this is looking to be a longer problem than we thought in the beginning.
Looking ahead, the IFA's been doing a lot of lobbying ahead of the budget. You've made your submissions, the countdown is on, and you hinted here this evening that from talks with Michael Noonan that there could be some brighter points on the horizon coming out of the budget?
Yes, well, I think the first point to make is that the Department of Finance and the Minister in particular have now, and the government in general, have realised that agriculture has a lot to offer, the rural community and the rural economy in particular. IFA has done quite a bit of work in quantifying that. And we know now, for example, through work done by Alan Renwick, an economist in Dublin, in UCD, that that every euro spent in the every farmer's euro spent in the rural economy is worth 2.7 euros to the economy. You know, that's important to understand how this works, because we bring in a lot of cash from outside through what we sell. So the government have bought into that, and they've recognised that they need to stimulate and encourage agriculture. So they're going to do some things. I think that on the general front, they're looking at the universal social charge, which will be welcome. They're looking at the self-employed, how they pay higher tax, especially at lower income levels, because there's a PAYE allowance that self-employed don't get. So they're looking at an earned income allowance similar to the PAYE allowance, and that'll be helpful. And I think that then there are some areas where we see pinch points. One of those is farm transfers. We want to see land in active young farmers' hands. They're more productive, they're more profitable, they're better for the rural economy. So we want to have an encouragement for farmers to transfer, and we think we have a scheme in the pot now that may actually work, that the Revenue think and the Department of Finance think will work. So that would be very welcome if that happens. And I suppose the last point we need is to deal with this income volatility. The way we can go from, for milk, for example, the way we can go from a high of 39 cent to a low of 25 cent in the space of 18 months. And that's over two tax years. And we have to find some mechanism in conjunction with the Department of Finance where we can put away some money without paying tax on it in the good year and be able to draw that money out in the bad year to support the income when it isn't there from the price of the product itself. So we've made some submissions on that, and we're working with the department to see can we manage that. Because if we don't manage that, what's going to happen is the weaker farmers, or the smaller farmers, the more exposed, maybe the more borrowed farmers, or in some cases the farmers that are trying to grow and develop, will go out of business. And we lose a resource that we don't really want to lose. So, you know, that's the package that we're promoting, and we'll see what comes in the budget. But we'll be talking to the minister, and we'll be talking to his colleagues in the next couple of weeks and promoting our points.
Another issue that was brought up here tonight, broadband in rural areas. There's a government white paper out. We hear an awful lot about it, but it still seems to be taking a long, long time for people in rural Ireland to get the same level of service as in many of the bigger towns and cities. And you made the point that this could be vital in keeping people in rural areas.
Yeah, we're running. IFA is running out of patience now at this stage, and with initiatives on rural broadband that come to nothing. It's not good enough. In this day and age, broadband is as vital to a household as electricity or water or a telephone line. It's probably more important now than a telephone line, if truth be known. So we're making the case to government that we have to have a properly funded initiative. It's coming to towns. The fibre is in towns and larger villages, but it's not coming out the country. And we want a fibre broadband delivered into every house in Ireland. And like I said, it's as important as electricity. So that this is a one-off investment that the government needs to make, whether it's somewhere in the region, we think it's somewhere around 500 million over a number of years, that needs to be done. But once it's done, it then means that somebody can work out of a country house in Donegal or Kerry or Cork or Mayo or Louth out the peninsula in Louth or anywhere at all and be on an equal footing with somebody in New York or London or Dublin to work at the same industry. And that's going to keep, that's going to be another step to keep people in rural Ireland, in good jobs in rural Ireland. And this is what we really want, isn't it? Like, I want to see rural Ireland vibrant, with young people in it, that keep the schools going, that keep the shops going, that keep the post offices open. This is all in a, this is a kind of a circle, like, you know, if you have the people, you get the services. If you don't have the people, or if you don't have the service, you don't have the people, so we lose out. And we are very proud in Ireland of our rural communities, you know. If you watch, the football, you know, last week and Mayo and Galway, like, there was a right chest out with the boys from Mayo, and they're as good as Galway, or, yeah, they're nearly as good as Dublin and Galway and Kilkenny, you know, that's all rural. And that's then such a big event, you know, based on our rural communities. Like the boys that hull from Kilkenny, they're all out of villages and small places, you know. So, and the same in Cork or wherever, up here in Donegal. So look at the lads that played football for so long and so well. Those areas are very important to us. They're the essence of Ireland, I think, in some ways, you know.
And just one other point, the new Charter of Rights that's been drawn up. Mm. It's great to have it there, but it's important that people learn exactly what's in it so they know what their rights are going to be.
That's right. Now, there's a couple of points on that. The first one is that there is now a Charter of Rights in place, it was out of date. It wasn't really there for the last number of years, and we've achieved that. We've put some significant changes into that will help farmers, that will reduce penalties on inspections, that will improve payments and ease application for schemes. So that's all important. Your point is very clear, though, and very, very, very much to the point that farmers need to read this Charter of Rights, but first of all they have to get it. The department haven't published it yet. We're not happy with that now, because I understood that this would happen fairly lively, and it hasn't happened yet. They have a very busy schedule this year with all the new schemes and stuff, but the Charter of Rights is part of the scheme, so that has to come out to farmers. We have a document that we put into the Farmers' Journal a couple of weeks back that outlines all the important points in the Charter of Rights. I'd recommend to farmers and to advisors that if they haven't thrown it away, that they find that document, and that goes into the file with their single farm payment application records, because that is now a very good guideline that IFA have made for the next 5 years as to how you work the schemes. These schemes are important to us. They bring money into farm households, so we need to make sure that the maximum amount of money is earned by farmers, the maximum amount of money is drawn down with the minimum penalties, and that the money comes on time. This is what this is all about.
Tim O'Leary there, the Deputy President of the IFA. Just time for the livestock prices, cattle prices. Steers making €3.95 to €4.05 a kilo. Heifers €4.05 to €4.10 a kilo. U-grade bulls €4.15 a kilo. And R-grade cows €3.75 a kilo. Sheep prices, spring lamb €4.80 a kilo to 22 kilos, and ewes €2.80 to €3 a kilo. Well, that's it. The clock has beaten us once again. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, have a very good evening.